This episode on anger is less on anger than it is on tangents. My friend Andrea is interested in so many of the same things I am, and we kind of go multiple directions in this chat. Even though I have over 100 episodes, there are things I say here to Andrea that you've probably never heard me say before. So this is kind of a small education in Natalie. I had to pull so much out of this episode because I feel like I just did so much talking. I need to have her back so that we can talk about any subject of her choosing. One of the things I love so much about this episode is Andrea's laugh that is often an exhale instead of being an actual laugh, like this. And I love it so much. Andrea is 42, a mother of two, a boy and a girl. She's a florist, a designer in many forms, a homeschooling mom to her youngest, and one of the most capable people I know, which is one of the many reasons we get along so well. I hope you enjoy this episode and give us grace for leaving the topic so much. You can find her floral business on Instagram under Flamingo Friday, one word. Now I'm sitting down with my friend Andrea. I've known Andrea, since your daughter was tiny. So how long is that? You know better than me.
She's almost 18.
Okay.
So yeah. Wow. Probably 16 plus years.
Oh, time flies. So my first question to my guests is so that whoever's listening can kind of see where you're coming from, who you are. Tell me three words that you give great importance.
So beauty is very important to me. I'm a very visual everything. Mm-hmm. I take in food with my eyes. I take in people with my eyes, everything. So aesthetics, beauty, mm-hmm. very important to me. Trust is very important to me. Mm-hmm. And just love.
Oh, three good ones.
Let me give you three words that I see for you.
Okay.
And I guess I don't know the word for it, but you're somebody that I can count on. Does that make sense?
Oh,
like,
yes.
The thing that bothers me the most about some of my relationship is when people are flakes or flake out, and you have never done that to me. And I appreciate that more than you know.
It's actually a big deal to me.
Yeah. And I do love that because I feel like that grounds our friendship because that brings in the trust aspect for mm-hmm. me. I can trust that you're going to show up and I can count on you. And I wish I could think of a word for like, would it be accountability? But I feel like accountability is more for yourself. Whatever. What's the opposite of a flake?
Reliable, dependable. Yeah. A flake isn't reliable.
Yeah. Where beauty is very important to me, you have that same gift. And I love the way you see things. Almost like you have this psychic ability to know what the end result before you start it. And when you try to explain it to somebody, they're like, what the? You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But then it ends up being this magical thing that you create.
I do have a very clear mind's eye. I can see things in my mind and I go, okay, how do I make that happen?
Which is a huge gift. Huge gift, I think. And the third thing is, and I don't really have a specific word for this one either, but when I refer to you when I'm talking to Eli or like complimenting, you're like the ideas person. So anytime I'm like ruminating over something or I just need to talk something out, you are the very first person that pops into my head. I need to talk this out with Natalie. She gives me the pros and cons. She comes up with ideas. She helps me make it so much better than I can on my own.
Excellent.
And I love that about you.
That makes me feel like I'm successful because there are two things that I hold in high regard for myself. One is that I'm sensible. That's one of my words. And two is a name I've given myself, which you've probably heard me say before, and that's that I'm a solutionist. I love coming up with a solution. And as you walk around my house, like you see that everywhere. Oh, I want this. Okay, what have I got to change to make it happen? What have I got to build to make it happen? The fact that you appreciate the sensibility and the solutionist in me makes me feel very successful.
Cool.
So,
yeah, one of my mantras is everything is figure outable. Yes. Everything.
I'm sure
I heard it somewhere, but like, I really tell myself that, or even if Eli's struggling with something, Rome's struggling with something, I'm like, it's figure outable. Everything is figure outable.
Yeah. It's an optimist point of view, and optimism is the bridge to so many good things.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Okay. So my first like proper question, just tell me how you see anger. Anything you want to say about anger?
How I see anger.
It almost isn't a question because I'm just after any perspective.
I see anger so much differently now than I used to. It used to be this heavy, overhanging monster in the closet type of thing that you have to shut down. Right. Yeah. You avoid it at all costs. Mm-hmm. You don't get angry. You don't show emotion. With all of the healing and all of the internal work that I've been doing, I see now that it's totally okay. If I feel anger, then in my body, that's valid. It's valid.
Excellent word.
And so I validate it. Sometimes I'll ask it a question like, okay, why are you really here?
So you let it be felt.
Let it. I used to not. I used to push, put it in the closet. Now I just let it. Sometimes it fills me and I see red and I say and do things that I shouldn't. Not that I like beat my kids or anything, but.
No, I understand.
But to the point where, you know, I'm that screaming, crazed lunatic because it's got to come out.
Okay.
Because if you hold it in, it's going somewhere in your body and then it's going to wreak havoc later on that you don't want. So I let it in, sit there for a minute. Why are you here? What do I need to learn? What do I need to see? Why is this making me so angry? I'm trying now to get to the root cause. So like we were talking about stupidity, it makes both of us very angry. Mm-hmm. Why? Why does what they just said make me so mad? And then I just start asking myself and going down that rabbit hole of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm not actually angry that they're stupid. It's something more about me.
It's an association reason.
Yes. It's something that I need to work on. So now that I'm letting it just sit and marinate, it doesn't affect me as much anymore.
Wow.
And then it can just pass.
You know what's interesting is...
And then I just shake my hands, get that energy out.
Oh, what a great idea.
Bye.
When I clean cards before reading... Part of cleaning the cards is tapping on the card and then shaking my hand that tapped on it. So that makes so much sense to do the handshaking.
Yep.
You're not the first person who has said, let it be felt. But the first person to say that to me, I was like, really? Let it in. Just let it be a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Allow it like it's not a bad thing. And I'm like, what?
There's so much conditioning about us not showing emotion and not feeling emotion.
You know what's come to me as you were talking is every person I've sat down with the exception of one, has left the church.
Really?
Yeah. She's still in the church, even though she's not super active, but she goes to church on Sundays and she believes she wants to marry an LDS man in the temple. And so fair enough, that's where she's at. But every other person I've talked to says anger used to be da 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 da, and now anger is this, or now I've realized anger this. And so it was when you said that and I went, oh yeah, you're no longer receiving all the conditioning, you're thinking for yourself, you're feeling things you've never felt, you're allowing thoughts you've never allowed.
I'm asking questions.
Yes, hugely important.
Searching for truth.
Yeah. I just kind of went, oh, look at the pattern emerging that is kind of like a side thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I actually, in talking to JT, now I forgot what it was that I was going to mention.
We were talking about conditioning.
Sometimes too many ideas come in and I'm like, whoa, I can't keep track of all of you.
Did we already talk about, are you ADD or ADHD?
I'd be surprised if you're not. If we talked about it, the answer I would have given you is I don't want to know. because I reckon I am based on what I watch myself do. But I don't like labels, especially labels that I feel make an individual, me or anyone, perceive that they are or have to be like all the other people with that label. So even though I can see the patterns of, I wouldn't say ADHD, I would say ADD. Even though I can absolutely see the patterns of that in me, I have no desire to be diagnosed, and B, have no desire to be labeled.
Yeah.
So if one day I'm off work and in my house and I start 30 projects and finish two, so be it.
Yep.
So be it. I do not want to be medicated. I do not want anything. And I have days where, like, I'm nothing like that. So that right there makes me go, yeah, again, I just don't want to live in a way that that's sitting on my shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, totally understand. And I look at it very differently now, too. It's like, that's my superpower.
So you were diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I've never been medicated.
And you used to see it as a bad thing.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, kids of the 80s with ADHD,
right,
that was not a positive diagnosis, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't looked at in a good way. But the more I've gotten to know it and gotten to know myself, I'm so grateful for it.
Nice.
I feel like it's such a superpower for me.
That's awesome.
I feel like it, because my thoughts are so fast and things come in so fast, I process information really fast. And I never used to look at it that way. I just looked at it like, I can't focus, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But now I'm like, no, I just process information really fast. And I'm on to the next thing when you're still back here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. I sometimes, and this is going to sound arrogant, I'm not saying it in any arrogant way, but especially at work, because I know everything, right? I sometimes impress myself that I have accomplished so much in so many seconds and solved so many problems or so many things done. Sometimes when I'm really on fire, I have had a lot of caffeine.
So do you know that that's self-medicating for someone with ADHD?
I didn't know that
until...
There is a but. This is a coffee shop I work in, and coffee's free. And I have my own specific, you know, little mm-hmm. recipes that mm-hmm. you end up with.
But it helps me focus. It helps me hone in. Here's a better word for it.
I just call myself a multitasker.
Yeah. Faster than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain works faster than normal. So there's a podcast called Faster Than Normal.
Oh, really?
And he is severely ADHD. But the stuff that he says, I'm like, golden nugget, golden nugget, golden nugget. You know what I mean? Because it really is.
Excellent.
It is a superpower. We're just faster than normal. Yeah. And everybody else has got to keep up with us. And I love that.
Which might unfortunately be why we get so pissed off by the quote unquote
the mundane
stupid people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just saying perception,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What was your human design again? Do you remember?
You were going to have me listen to it and I never did.
I have it on my phone and I need you to just, yeah.
And I don't even know what the answer to that question is. I'm not sure what you mean. I just know that it's an app and is it my...
So... It has a lot to do with your astrology.
Okay, let me tell you then. I think that I am Taurus rising, Capricorn moon.
So you are a generator, which may have nothing to do with being ADD or ADHD, but you generate energy. You generate your own energy. Like your sacral center is on fire all the time. You can pull energy from it whenever you want. I don't have that.
That makes sense why a lot of people come to me and say your hugs are the best.
Could be. Huh. You're giving them that Care Bear stare.
Uh-huh. Yeah, some people really feel it. And they're like, I need a Natalie hug. I'm not that person that goes around hugging people, but people come up to me and get hugs often.
We'll have to look at your other gifts within that.
Okay.
But just knowing that you're a generator, you do move faster than normal.
Uh-huh. I heard somebody say, somebody who was very reputable, and I wish I could pull his name. You know, I could just look it up because I know where I can find it.
I love our tangents. That's what reminded me. I'm like, freaking sorry. My ADD, one thought leads me to 25 different other ones.
I need to just remember you have an appointment and so try to stay on task for you.
Oh, I know.
Okay. It was said by Matthias DiStefano, and it was on the Aubrey Marcus podcast. Anyway, Matthias was talking about ayahuasca and all the things he's learning. He's such a fascinating dude. He downloads from the universe constantly. They were talking about everybody looking for meaning in things that don't actually have meaning. And somebody had a flight and the number of the plane ended in 11. And they were like, oh, look. And they're like just trying to pull meaning out of their ass because a number had a 1-1 at the end. And he said, no, the number 11 means go find yourself. It doesn't mean anything else. It means you need to get to know yourself. And that hit me hard because my birthday is 11/11. For some reason, I've never been desperate to find out any meaning in that. I've just accepted it. But the fact that he said that and the fact that about 11 years ago, I realized I didn't know who I was. And so I've been trying to find out who I am. Maybe that's what my life is about, is the need to get to know who I am. Hence the self-awareness podcast. Mm-hmm. Speaking of repetitive numbers, does 7/7 have a meaning?
It does.
Your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
And what is that?
I mean, all of them do.
Yeah.
Right? That's funny that I just had that out this morning because we went, and remind me to tell you about my experience.
We're not going to have time.
I know.
We got to get together again.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Remind me to tell you, okay. Not today.
We got to go
about my experience at the Mormon Massacre site down in St. George. On Sunday.
Okay.
That was wild. So 7 is luck.
Okay. I should have known that.
But when you're born on a double number, so 11/11, mm-hmm. That's a portal.
Oh, I have a lot of friends with double number birthdays too.
Which makes sense.
Uh-huh.
I've been working with a medium. She's kind of trying to help me unlock my psychic abilities.
Uh-huh. Which is what I opened on my phone to share with you.
Really?
Uh-huh. I don't know why I felt like it was going there, so I went ahead and opened scrolled to the screenshot.
Love it. And 7/7 specifically, like having your birthday on 7/7, I did a whole deep dive into it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember everything right now, but share what you were going to share with me.
So I have, my psychic ability is defined by a couple of the clairs.
Okay.
Claircognizance and then clairsentient. And so I'm not clairaudient and I'm not clairvoyant. So,
and you know that because I feel like you are.
Well, I know that because of the skills that I have. So I could read to you the definitions of both of those.
Yeah.
Claircognizance is defined. This is when we have knowledge of people or events that we would not normally have knowledge about. Spirit impresses us with truths that simply pop into our minds from out of nowhere. An example of this would be a premonition, a forewarning of something that will happen in the future. Claircognizance requires tremendous faith because there's often no practical explanation for why we suddenly know something. Many philosophers, professors, doctors, scientists, religious and spiritual leaders, and powerful sales and business leaders tend to be highly intuitive and seem to just know the facts with a sense of certainty. If this is you, consider claircognizance as one of your dominant senses. And then clairsentient. This entails feeling a person or a spirit's emotions or feeling another.
Well, it's like you're an empath, right? Yeah. But it's like empath's big sister.
Yeah, which is how I do my readings. So real quick, I'll just read. It's kind of long. So this entails feeling a person's or spirit's emotions or feeling another's physical pain. Many of us are clairsentient without consciously being aware of it. When we get a strong gut feeling, positive or negative, about someone we just met, or when we get the chills for no apparent reason, we may be turning into the emotional energy of a person or a spirit around us. So when I do a card reading, I get handed information.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say, I don't know where it's coming from, but over and over, it was evident that it was coming from the person's higher self. Because I'm telling them about them, shit they should already know. And it's being handed to me in ways to not say you are da 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 da, but it's being handed to me in things to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
Share this experience you had. Share this perspective. Share this sentence. Say this right now. Say
so that's clear
that.
Audience.
But it's not audible.
But it is in your mind's eye.
Yeah. So I think that makes it clairsentient. Whereas
no, that's also
clairaudient is actual audio.
So clairaudience is also what you hear in your own mind.
Oh, really?
Yes. And when I was going to say, I think you are clairvoyant, because in your mind's eye, you can see the end result. So if you read about mediums, there is like the tiniest line between a medium, like a psychic medium, and an interior decorator or a floral designer. People who are super creative have that. I mean, because you are. You're one of the most creative people I know. And because you're faster than normal, it would not surprise me if you were a full-on psychic medium if you opened that door.
Hmm.
Which just gave me the chills. So you probably are. That's my validation that I just said something true. Like, look at my leg.
I have partial chills. I won't say I have definite chills, but I like felt my skin just crawl slightly. So that rings very true. I think my hang up is hardly a hang up. It's just this tiny thing, this part of me that goes, no, really, Natalie, are you? So it's more just doubt. It's not like a big thing stopping me. And there are times where I get handed information that I'm like, I have no way to corroborate that. None whatsoever, unless I got on the phone and called a specific person to ask a specific question to look like that crazy human, which I'm not going to do. Therefore, I don't have a good way to validate what I've been given, giving me confidence that it's true. So I don't do anything with a lot of the information I get handed. Because I'm not willing to look weird and go the extra mile to get confirmation, I have the doubt stopping me.
Okay.
The doubt is there. When good grief. Like, things are always happening that make me go, well, of course, of course. Especially with card readings, the cards that appear, of course. One of the readings I was doing fairly recently, I was impressed to use a specific word and elaborate on it. And because she was talking, I waited. And then she said something else that made me say something different. And so anyway, we're getting to the end of the reading. And at the end of the reading, I always have these extra cards that don't obviously choose themselves, but they like separate themselves from the rest of the cards. And so I call them my maybe useful cards. So I had set this pile of three maybe usefuls to the side. And the very last card that was maybe useful was what I hadn't told her.
So it reminded you.
Uh-huh. It was like, oh, don't you fucking think you're going to finish this reading without actually saying that. So had I said it earlier, it would have looked like the card would have confirmed you needed to hear this. Instead, all I could do was wave my arms and point at the card like, look at that, look at that. And she didn't even know what I was on about. I was like so excited that the card was validating for me mm-hmm. what I knew I needed to tell her. It was actually the grace card. I felt so much like, you just need to give yourself grace. And I had this information coming at me, but because it didn't feel as though I had an opportunity to say it, I didn't. And then the very last card is, no, you are going to tell her about grace. I get confirmation all the time during card readings, all the time.
Because so you're open to it.
It's almost as though the cards turn into the cards they need to be the moment before they're turned over. Not like it's been sitting there as that card the mm-hmm. whole time. That's how freaking wild.
Do you use tarot or oracle?
Oracle. I use four decks.
Okay.
And I am not a fan of Rider-Waite, so not tarot. The first deck I use is the deck I created.
Oh.
I don't know if you know. I have a bunch of decks. I only have the first one printed. I have the book for the first one probably half written.
That's amazing.
But yeah, this isn't something I give enough time to, you know, to actually move forward with that. I have my fingers in so many pies, as you know.
Yes.
So anyway, one of my decks is a James von Prague deck. He's a clairvoyant. I have a few of his books and I respect him. His deck is actually really useful. Another deck I use is a spell deck. And so every card contains a spell if you want to do the spell. I'm not that person, so I always ask the individual getting a reading whether or not they want me to read the spell. Often people just photograph it, and then they can do it if they want to. Right. Some of them are very simple spells, but I don't put my skills in the realm of the word witch.
Yes.
I just don't think I'm a witch.
Yeah.
My sister is a witch. She's a hoodoo witch, and it just doesn't fit me.
Yeah.
The word witch. I love the deck, but I don't do the spell part. And then the fourth deck that I use is a map deck. And that's what it's called, even though there aren't like locations in the deck. It's just called a map deck. And it's a really beautiful deck for meaning, artwork. It always fits in so well inside a reading. It's like the fancy deck I'm using is kind of how it ends up unfolding. It's a little on the fancy side for information, for everything. And then I'm looking over because my decks are here in my recording studio. I have four tarot decks. Two of them are Rider-Waite. One is Aleister Crowley's. And the fourth is Osho. I don't know if you know his Zen tarot deck. That's a very unique deck. And that's the deck I started with because those cards are just so neat. We have gone off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. It's so easy to talk to you.
Likewise.
When somebody knows you so well, I'm really, it's easy for me to say, I feel seen by you all the time. To say I am known by you is almost an understatement. And so it's very liberating to just sit and chat.
Yeah.
And we never do this. We always have something we're working on when we're together. Or never just, here's a microphone,
right,
let's talk.
Right.
Yeah, we should do this more. Is it okay if I go on to the next question, or is there anything you wanted to say?
No, please go to the next. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to combine two questions in the interest of time. Are there emotions that you have associated with anger? I know we kind of already touched on this with stupidity when we went off on that tangent. But are there emotions you have associated with anger? And do you feel like anger is a choice?
If it is a choice, I haven't mastered how to turn it off. And this is something that I'm working on, not reacting, like having a reaction.
Overall in life.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That I can kind of sit, take a step, and choose into an action, not a reaction. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like impatience is a big one for me. Or if someone's not listening to me, I'm not being heard, anything like that just fires me up so fast.
The not listening, especially working in a coffee shop. Oh my gosh.
Undue judgments.
Oh.
Fire me up pretty good. Or judgments that don't make sense in my mind.
Yeah.
So, and those aren't emotions, those are reasons. But I would say impatience is an emotion.
Yeah.
And that's a big one for me that leads to anger when I'm feeling impatient.
You remind me that injustice is one of mine.
Yeah. Which kind of goes along with that. Maybe I should have said injustice rather than judgments, because you say injustice and that just clicked in my mind that it made so much more sense to me than judgments.
But also along the lines of judgments, what I was thinking of as soon as you said that was miniature story to get to that. I spend a lot of time on Instagram, and when I'm watching somebody that I really enjoy, and then the comments are judgment comments instead of just enjoying that person for who they are.
Or picking apart whatever they're doing.
I get so angry.
Yeah.
Somebody recently called them buttholes, and I haven't heard that term for a long time. She goes, I block the buttholes. I commented, good job. All the buttholes need to be blocked.
Yep.
So yeah, the judgments really do piss me off really fast.
Yep.
I would argue we don't need to judge everything. Just allow more. Let things be different from what you believe. Let things be somebody else's opinion. Let things just be. Like, let it go in one ear and out the other.
Yep.
Why judge it? Any others?
Any other emotions?
Yeah.
That lead to anger or that
you have associated
With anger.
The reason I ask this question is because it's fascinating that we're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I am with my really specific ways that I end up in anger. And when I ask this question, They're never the same as mine. And so I love having my mind expanded. We're still talking about the same emotion, anger, but we all deal with it differently.
Different, yeah.
We all see it differently. We all get there differently. We all have associations that are different because our lives are different.
Yeah. I know this isn't an emotion, but my perfectionism gets in the way and causes me a lot of anger. Just though, and I don't even want to label it as like OCD. I know I probably do have some OCD tendencies, but I definitely am a perfectionist with a lot of things. And so I don't know if it's a control thing. I don't know if it's just I have a certain standard and if I don't hit it.
I feel like that's it for me. So I can absolutely relate to it. Like if I'm not meeting my own standards, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Which is why I get so frustrated on an install because I feel like if I'm not leaving it 1000% me, I'm not happy.
Exact. Yep. I can see that in you and I can see that overall.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I would be the same. One of the things I love about doing an install with you is it's not my call.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be the perfectionist. I get the get out of jail free card because you have that worry.
But I love that when you do work with me, I can trust that you're going to do exactly what I need.
Which might be because of the freedom.
Yeah.
I'm not the stressed one. In fact, I know I've learned this about myself. When someone in the room is not stressing out in a situation where I somehow see that we should be stressing out, I put that on myself. And then I become the one losing my shit. It was honestly within the last year that I went, oh my God, look what I do. If I think you should be losing your shit and you're in charge of everyone, it's going to hell in a handbasket and you're not freaking out, well, now I have to freak out. Even though I'm not in charge, if you're freaking out, I'm okay to assume your perfectionism is why you're freaking out. And I can just rely on that. In fact, I did just upload a podcast episode about that. It's called Leadership. It Takes All Kinds. Sorry, sometimes I get on a rant and I reach a point where it feels like I need to just go, Jesus' name, amen. I need to just stop talking and let you go. Thank you so much for coming and doing this with me.
My pleasure. Love it.